Can I do the intro for a change?
No, no, no. You know that's my thing. Why are you always on me about that?
Okay, you do it.
All right. Hello again, and welcome to the Mana Pool. This is episode 123? Yeah.
I think that's right.
Yeah. I think that's right.
123 of the Mana Pool. The podcast that is all about gaming, brought to you for games. The Mana Pool, we're game. I am Brian. I am the host here. I am going to talk to you about gaming because that's what we do here. And I am going to try and reel these other guys in because, you know, somebody has to. And who all is with me? Geeks, sound off. There are geeks here, right?
Yeah. I guess I'll go first.
Okay. Who are you?
Hi, this is Dirk. And I am the lore master.
Yes, spreading the lore.
Dirk always goes first.
Dirk, why are we called the Mana Pool?
Well, you see, in World of Warcraft, you have mana. Mana is necessary in order to cast spells and do all that fun stuff that, you know, mages and any sort of mana user uses. So it's all good.
Right, right.
I prefer Defense of the Ancients myself.
Yep, then there's the Defense of the Ancients as well on top of that.
So there's Dirk, our lore master. He knows all about the lore that nobody else knows. Who else is there? I heard somebody else. Yeah.
Oh, it's me. It's me, Mike. I just go on and on about nothing all the time, and I really just don't know when to stop. It's kind of aggravating, really. You know, it's just, yeah.
You're the only person like that I've ever met in my life, too. Anybody else? Any other gaming geeks out there?
Ooh, I'm here. Okay. I'm Chewy. I'm the blackest man alive, self-proclaimed at least. And, yeah, I don't really do much. I just have my own segment at the end.
Yeah. Chewy, you'll notice, is kind of quiet. He's not into a lot of the card games and stuff that we play. But we're going to be, especially the topics we're going to be talking about today, and we'll get to that in a minute. He's here. He's our friend, and he's always got some unique and awe-inspiring statements. When Chewy speaks up, you better listen.
So, you know, can I get you to tell the people at work that? Because nobody listens to me.
You're implying they listen to me.
That's good. Ooh, for the record, since I do this every episode, I am eating some townhouse garlic herb flip sides, the pretzel crackers.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
They are. The garlic herb is surprisingly good. So you might hear me go, oh, sorry, my mic was muted a couple times, like always.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll shut up now.
So we're the gaming podcast. We are brought to you by CardShark.com, a better way to buy and sell collectible card games. Got all sorts of card games on there. Got World of Warcraft. Got some Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yeah.
So go there for the hookup if you're looking for anything in particular. And you may even find some off-the-wall, offbeat games that, you know, hardly anybody plays anymore.
They still sell Versus?
You know, I don't know.
I don't know, but I have a funny feeling someone's about to find out in 2 seconds. Who can beat me there? Oh, too late.
Mine's not loading. It says loading, but it's not loading.
It looks like we got World of Warcraft, Yu-Gi-Oh! We do have DC and Marvel, and we've got Duel Masters. Oh, that's great. And Magic. Yeah, whatever. All right, so...
You remember that time we tried Duel Masters? We played it for like 6 months straight.
I know. Wasn't it great? I was all about the Machine Eaters. They eat the machines, man. It's great. And they can attack, like, right away, because they're fire civilization.
Yeah, so, I like the fire guys best.
You did. I remember showing that game to you, and you were all like, yeah, woo. I was kind of worried he was going to burn something down. But that's Mike for you. He's just
unpredictable. I get excited.
It's true. So we are brought to you by CardShark.com. You should definitely go ahead and check them out. You can send us an email at themanapool@cardshark.com. And I am easily distracted, but that's me because I've got a million things going on at once. I get excited. What can I say? But not like Mike gets excited. That's a different kind of excited. Anyway,
send us an email. Not the one you go home and tell mom about.
No. We have a Facebook group. You can become our fans on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. There is no realm of the internet into which we have not inserted ourselves.
Wow.
Send us a tweet.
The way that you said that, I was going to make a crack about we haven't infiltrated porn yet, but then you said inserted ourselves, so now I can't make that joke.
Hey, we're still PG-13, kind of like, you know, mostly PG-13. I guess you can say the word porn.
You better write the okay. You better write the time down so you can edit this.
Oh, you know, I never remember that. I always say that I do, but I never get to it. So that's it. Thanks for checking us out. Thanks for giving us a listen. We've been doing this for a little while now. So if you're a first timer, thanks for checking us out, and we hope you enjoy what you hear. News. We've gotten listener email.
If you are a first timer, please listen to other episodes as well.
Yes. Yes. Cool. You should definitely check out other episodes that come both before and eventually after this one to really get a sense of what we're about. Because I'm afraid you're just going to listen to this one and you may go, you know, they're not for me. So definitely.
Yeah, really, this episode is not going to be a good one to base this on. I can tell you that.
Yeah,
we're playing Star Wars. Jesus. Right.
Hey, don't give it away.
Yeah. Sorry.
Well, I mean nothing. Force Unleashed
was a cool game. Don't be dissing it. I enjoyed it.
Right. Enough spoilers. We've gotten some listener emails. We always love getting your emails. Lately, since I announced that my wife and I will be having a child, they've been kind of centering around that. Charles Specht. I won't pronounce it because I will mispronounce it because that I will always do.
That's an easy one. Specht. Come on.
Specht says, you know, congratulations and, you know, the greatest name any man can be called is dad. Daddy. I didn't write down verbatim. Father.
Fred.
Not Fred.
Bob.
But I appreciate
definitely
that.
Definitely Bob.
Brian Prilliman, who you know from the Avant Card Show, or you should know from the Avant Card Show, said, congratulations on the spawnling. You begin a wonderful journey that will cause you to question every decision you make for the next 18 years. I'm like, ugh. It's true. Like, for example, if you change the diaper in the back of the car, will you ever be able to get the smell out?
I personally liked, do I get the Fisher-Price bouncy seat or the Baby Glow swingy seat?
Yeah, with a little asterisk. And then the asterisk at the bottom says?
I would go with the swingy seat. The bouncy seat tends to push the poo up and out of the diaper.
And after I read that email, I told Carrie about this, and she's like, I think I already bought a bouncy seat. And I'm like, all right.
Yay, she can clean up the poo.
So that was from Brian. We appreciate that.
Thank you for those words of wisdom, Chewy.
Austin K sent us an email, and it had a link to a picture, and it's got Chewy and Mike and me, and not Dirk, but Mike's brother Thomas, and it was taken, I think, from when we were at a tournament
gathering,
somewhere,
something.
Probably a Yu-Gi-Oh tournament.
Probably,
and,
yeah.
Yeah.
We're all wearing the same shirt. Maybe it was a wet T-shirt contest.
That's entirely.
No, because we're actually wearing the shirt.
So the reason why I was not in the picture is because I was the one taking the picture.
Oh, that's what it was.
We didn't have somebody else do that for us? No, but Dirk's reliable for that. So he takes the pictures. And then it's been imposed onto the swimming pool. And should we tell him what it says or should we make this picture like available so that people can see it? Because I think it's great.
Yeah, maybe we should put it on the Facebook group. Yeah.
So you should go and check us out and see. Hilarity will ensue.
I will be sure to label not Dirk.
Yeah, because they need to know who's Dirk and who's not Dirk. Because, you know, you hear us, but you don't see us. And you might see Fidel Castro and think, hey, it's Dirk. But don't be dragging Dirk off to Cuba or anything.
Yeah, I definitely don't look very Fidel Castro-ish.
Have you
Unless
been
Fidel
to Cuba?
Castro grew a red goatee.
Have you been to Cuba?
No, not recently.
Yeah,
they revoked my passport.
I remember now. Dirk was taking his picture because it was the wet T-shirt contest.
Mm-hmm.
Who won? Not me.
I'm pretty sure it was Mike.
Yeah, that's what I was going to guess.
Well, it depends on which wet t-shirt contest this was. Anyway, we should get back on topic.
Right, and then we had another email, and this one touched me a little bit. From Kate.
Good touch or bad touch?
Good touch. I was glad to get this. From Kate Woolsey, she had to say, hey, I have to say thanks. On Saturday, her grandfather passed away, and since the funeral was in Texas, she couldn't make it. Feel really
sorry
about that.
She is in Wisconsin, it looks like.
Right.
Yeah.
And she said she's been really sad and mopey about that. And the latest podcast, which was at the time she wrote this, 121, actually made her laugh out loud for the first time genuinely and without thought. It was good and actually took her out of her head, so thanks. And that's really what we're all about. You know, not just this one corner case, but we're all about, you know, trying to make people feel better and giving them good experiences. So I'm glad that we could do that for you, Kate. I'm very sorry to hear about your loss.
We are too.
So those are the listener emails. Do we have any more news before we get into our topics de jour?
Wouldn't that be du jour?
Du jour.
Yeah, du jour.
I'm the one that speaks French here. Never mind.
I thought it was de jour.
No, that's a law thing.
No, you made that mistake before.
Yeah, that's a law thing. Du jour is of the day.
Okay.
Like the soup du jour. I love the soup du jour at this one restaurant, but they freaking change it every day.
There are days that we all hate you.
It's not like every day. That's the topic du jour.
Well, then let's
hate du jour.
If there's no other news, because us hating each other is certainly not du jour.
Is that like Mountain Dew?
That doesn't even make any sense. Keep going.
Then let's get to our topic. So today, you know, we cover all sorts of games. And we generally focus on card games and video games. And so for today, we kind of dug into the vault, so to speak.
We did play board games that one day, that one episode.
Yeah. Man,
that was a mad game of Risk, let me tell you.
Candyland just kicked my butt. I'm telling you, you guys just – Dirk was all, look at me. I can draw the best cards.
And he could. That was disgusting.
It's crazy. Dirk is really good with rolling dice.
And that I am.
He really is.
Because every time I rolled, I always had the highest roll.
I bet you'd be really good at that.
Poker or that blackjack.
Star Wars card game. You know, after the good one went away, the one that was made by Decipher, they lost the license, and Wizards of the Coast, that company that makes the Pokemon cards,
is that what they do?
Yeah, they
don't,
got.
Don't
it.
They do Duel Masters too?
Oh, that's right.
Okay, well we can't
buy your Civilization.
I think they also own TSR.
Oh, yeah, they got Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah. And I think they had those, like, the pet cards or something.
Anyway.
Once they got the license, they took it, and they took the kind of the same game, except they simplified it, which was probably a good move, but then they added 5 kajillion dice. You need, like, You start out with like 40 dice when you start the game, and you roll them for random like deploy costs
all the time.
It's like take a breath, roll a die. Okay,
it's like Dungeons and Dragons on crack.
So I bet that Dark would do really well at that game. But so we actually went back and we played some card games that I played back in the day, and one I had played with Dark, which was Lord of the Rings. By Decipher, and so we went back. I created a couple decks, and
not Middle Earth,
which was a different game, and we played a couple games of that, and then one was the other Star Wars game, the original one by Decipher, and made a couple decks and played that, and we're gonna get into that today. So we started off with Lord of the Rings, and Dirk, since I played with you, do you want to give a basic rundown of how the game works? Just basic.
Okay. The big rundown with the game is that you have one deck, and the deck contains half light, which would be the good guys, and half dark, which is the bad guys. And so you have to make – it's a 60-card deck, and it has to be half and half. You can't have more of one than the other. You put them together. There's no lands involved or any sort of, like, crazy stuff like that. There is just your characters, all that. You have Frodo in the ring. You always have to have Frodo in the ring to begin with. And then you have, you kind of put together your group. You can have an introductory group. Then what you do is that you're going to kind of figure out who's going to go first. You do this by burdens that go on the ring bearer. And then... So,
I'll pay attention to the chat. Keep going.
I know.
Or was the baby making anyway, a face at you?
I know.
So you start out with the ring bearer.
Okay, yeah. So we have your groups. And the whole point of the game is that you have 9 lands that are like sites. It's whatever the
locations?
Nine locations.
The location, yeah. And they're going to be spots like what you would see in the movie. And you go along, there's 9 locations that you go to. The way that the opposing player tries to beat you is that you put what are called tokens, or you put the markers or counters or some sort of token that represents the shadow count.
Twilight.
Whenever you play
Twilight, there we go.
Generate
dancing
Twilight.
Around what the term is. Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute, Mike. What was that?
Whenever you play your light card stuff, you end up generating Twilight tokens
that the
player can use as a resource to play their shadow card.
Right.
Right. And then those are what, like Mike had said, you play the opposing player uses those. When you move from site to site, you generate shadow tokens, which, you know, empty out, or there's a lot of other little stuff that goes with it. But anytime you put equipments, one example that was in the game was Boromir's sword. Really cool sword that you get. That, to play that on one of your characters requires a Twilight tokens be put into the pool that the other opponent can use to play their characters against the light character. And so the whole point is you want to get from the first location to the 9th location, which is the final location. And the other person, they're just kind of playing against each other to try and kill the other person by killing all their characters or corrupting the ring bearer.
So, and just quickly, each deck is half and half, while one side is trying to beat the other with shadow, you switch after every turn, and suddenly the person that was playing shadow is now playing Free People's. So there's that balance, and the decks, like Dark said, do feed off of each other's. The Free People's cards make the shadow player's stuff go, and in case the Free People's person just says, "Well, I don't want to play anything," the locations themselves also add Twilight, right?
That is correct.
So
and the balance that comes from this, I was actually there while they played this game. The balance that comes from this is really great because there's really no way for one person to just, I win. And there's no way for another person to be completely screwed out of it. It's really quite brilliant the way that it was made.
Yeah.
If you get a really miserable draw for a long time, then it's possible. But that's really the only way that can happen.
But yeah, since you're constantly refilling your hand, that's your fault for building your deck wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a couple times when we were playing that the draw I would get all light characters, and it would be my shadow turn, and I would look at my hand and think, go, because I don't want to get rid of my hand, because when it becomes my turn again to be the light character, I was set.
Well, and you can only discard one card during the regroup phase anyway, so it's not like you can dump your whole hand.
And then get a whole new hand and hope and pray that you get a better draw.
Yeah. Okay. So then, like I said, now the interesting thing is I want to give you a breakdown of the decks, but each deck is almost like two decks because the shadow side and the Free People side don't interact whatsoever.
Within the same deck.
Within the same deck, exactly. So we had one deck that was the Free People's was Rangers, and it was all about Aragorn and Boromir and Arwen. Thank you. And trying to use those sorts of effects and like what are they, and using the things that feed off of rangers. And the other half of the deck was Moria, the orcs and goblins of Moria, and they're cheap and they swarm, and that's what they do. And we'll get into that. It also has the Balrog and the cave troll, which never came out, but
they have a cave troll.
They have a cave troll.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was Dirk's line.
They
it's true.
My mistake, lore guy. I'm so sorry.
They the Moria.
You're such a geek.
The Moria culture also has the Watcher in the Water, which I have, but I didn't put into the deck because it's the epitome of a build around me card. It's either a Watcher in the Water deck or it's not, and I didn't feel like making that. Another deck, the Free People side, is Elves, and it also has Arwen and Legolas, but it's more of the Arwen and interacting. It's Arwen Lady Unadel, and it focuses on having what's his name? The Legolas. Guy who's from the Matrix also, and was the head elf.
Elrond.
Yeah. The guy from the Matrix. Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Anderson, take this ring.
Oh, speaking of Mr. Anderson, remember, listeners, this is important. We say it every episode. Heal AJ.
Yes, heal AJ. AJ gets healed later. So it's all about the elves, and it's all about building up allies. And the other half is the Nazgul, which is probably one of my favorite shadow minions ever. Just the nine riders in black.
Really cool about the way the deck was is that one of the major premises behind the Nazgul deck is that it's out to corrupt the Ring Bearer.
That's correct.
Which is what's really interesting about the lore is that that's the whole function is that there's the Moria knife that stabs Frodo and corrupts him, and the same sort of effects go out throughout the Nazgul deck to try and corrupt the Ring Bearer so that he doesn't die by being killed, but by, you know, being corrupted. And right. That's the main focus of the Ringwraith deck.
Correct.
Or Ringwraith half of Brian's deck.
That's correct. And they definitely have that focus, and they really like adding birds and stuff. Although the Nazgul are generally pretty good at just beating up people. They're more expensive than the Moria guys, certainly, but they're also pretty big. And a lot of them can attack twice in a turn because they're fierce. And then another deck was
the second deck I played with was sort of, it was like a fellowship deck.
The fellowship side was Twilight Denial, and it had all sorts of cultures, and it had Gandalf and Gimli. And Aragorn and all the various hobbits. But the mm-hmm. theme was trying to keep
as many people going as possible,
as many people going, and as few Twilight tokens in. Out of the middle, and it accomplished that even though it was supporting more characters with things like Bill the Pony and Gimli's Game Text, everything that reduces or removes Twilight tokens. And the other half of that deck was the Uruk-hai, Dirk's favorite.
The Uruk-hai was my thing, and the Uruk-hai, what's really cool about their abilities, because they're such a up-forward, aggressive group, that they had an ability called Damage Plus One. Mm-hmm. So the way you would try and eliminate the Free People's characters is that you deal damage to them, and then they have a life counter on
vitality.
Them. Vitality, yeah. And you would put tokens on them to account for how much damage that they receive. So, like, if Gimli has a vitality of 3, then if an Uruk-hai damaged him, it would have done 1 token plus an additional token, so Gimli's life, his vitality would have been down to 1. He could only take 1 more damage, and then he would have been killed.
Right.
So usually in combat, a person only takes 1 wound at a time if they lose, right?
That's correct.
Quick
rule aside, if you have a skirmish and you have a Free People's character and a normal minion, and the minion's power is at least that of the Free People's, because in a tie, the minion wins, or higher, the then the Free People's guy usually takes a wound. Darkstar, if it's damage plus one, he takes an additional wound. You can also have damage plus one stacks. So you can actually have a guy who's like damage plus three, and he's just going around murdering people. And then you have what's called overwhelmed, where if the power of the minion or of the Free People's person, you usually see it with the minion, is at least twice that of the other, when all the effects have been played, then
he instantly kills.
Dies. Yeah, they die. They go to the dead pile, not the lost pile. And then finally, the last deck was the Free People side is the Riders of Rohan from the Two Towers, and they're all about getting on their horses
and mowing people over.
Mowing people over, and one of the centerpieces is that
it's Aomer.
Aomer, who the rare version of Aomer, and he actually gets stronger when he's fighting a wounded
on a horseback with a weapon.
How it works is that he gets like strength plus two for each wound on a minion he's skirmishing, and his horse says when you start a battle, wound each minion he's fighting. So already he's like, whoa. And then, plus archery and all that good stuff. And then the other half of that, the dark half, is the what Chewy, I think, called the bad men, because it's the Easterlings and the Southerons. I don't know if I'm pronouncing them correctly, but the bad men who went to go fight for Sauron. And they're kind of a crazy bunch, and they care about different things. And we'll get into that.
So that's the deck I would be in if I was in a Lord of the Rings deck.
You are the blackest man.
You are a bad man.
Yes, yeah. That too.
So, in the first game, go ahead and give a quick rundown here. Dirk was playing the Ranger/Moria deck, and I was playing the Elves and Nazgul deck. I won the bid because I bid one burden and started the game with one burden. Dirk bid zero. We started at Westfarthing, and Dirk had Frodo Reluctant Adventurer and with the One Ring, the Ruling Ring, and he had Aragorn, the King in Exile, on his side as well. I had Frodo, and then I also had Arwen and Legolas. So I went first. I played Elrond, and then I played another companion, Salcoleth, and then I moved to Trollshaw. Dirk was like, woohoo, and he played a Goblin Scrabbler, and I have here Mike was very good and took notes. He has gets arrowed. I think he died during archery.
Like immediately, as soon as you played him.
Goblin Scrabbler has one vitality, and Legolas is an archer, so as soon as you move to the archery phase, Legolas goes, you, take it.
That was a sound effect.
So then I chose to move again because my move limit was one. In a two-player game, you can choose to move one additional time each turn, but you don't. You keep the minions that are out on the board, and you also keep the Twilight that's out there. Dirk played nothing. So at that point, I was like, all right, I've moved all I can. Dirk, for his part, played Arwen, daughter of Elrond, obviously another ranger, and Boromir, Lord of Gondor, and played No Stranger to the Shadows on Aragorn. So he's all like, wham, 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 wham. I'm like, oh! And he moves to Trollshaw. And I'm all like, all right, I got some Nazgul for you. And I played Ulier Nelia. Ulier Nelia. All of the Nazgul have the same first name. I don't know.
I think it's Ulare.
Ulare.
But I'm not completely sure.
Ulare Nelia.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that it's also like a title.
That's what I was just thinking.
It would be like a servant sort of title. So it's just the last name is their actual name.
So I'll just do the last names. I played Nelia and Otsea. And as soon as we went to the maneuver phase, Otsea got what are they? I don't even know how to say that except that a ranger, you can play the card what are they and spot a ranger on your side to go ahead and get rid of a roaming minion. And
what are they?
Otsea has a home site of 3, so he went away. And Nelia was like,
Where'd my buddy go?
Where'd my buddy go? And
I miss him. He was fun.
And we went into skirmishes, and Arwen beat up on Nelia with Arwen's fate, because Arwen already gets stronger. Great move on my part, by the way, putting Arwen into the deck. Well, we didn't know how the decks would play against each other, but now this Arwen is like buff against Nazgul. So she's all like, all right, I'll take him on. And then he used Arwen's fate to exert Aragorn to make her stronger, or he can do vice versa, and she just beat all up on him. But even though he was able to deal some damage there, he decided to go ahead and stay rather than having this Nazgul trailing him.
Beat him like she was his mom.
He did. Or she did.
It did.
It did. Everyone did. During my turn, I was like, all right, I got to shoot up my guy. So I played a Bow of the Galadrim on Legolas and gave Arwen her sword, Gwymegil. And we moved to the Mithril Mine. Dirk's all
didn't
like,
you also get a horse?
No.
I was going, Russell said no.
No, because I was going to move to an underground site. That was later. Dirk was like, all right, I've got some stuff. So he played a Goblin Runner and actually gained a Twilight from that. That's crazy. Goblin Runner is crazy. He played Dark Places, which lets him sub one of the sites on the adventure path for one of his if it's an underground site. And also makes his unique guys like the troll and the Balrog stronger. And some goblin scavengers and a backstabber. Thankfully there was some archery there and there was a Moria scout too. There was all sorts of goblins running around.
At that point, that's when my creatures are no longer roaming at site 4.
Right. So here's what we have: archery and the Moria scout takes a hit, and they're all still around. We've got some assignments there. Arwen, here's what Mike wrote: Arwen Defiance Scavengers. I believe I played the card Defiance to pump her strength. Frodo hides from the runner. Legolas murders all with Defiance times 2 and border defense. All with Defiance and 2 times border defenses. I had all these events in my hand that were like make an elf stronger. So I'm like, all right. Guess I'll make my elves stronger. So they were all like, wham, 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 wham. But it was kind of crazy. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to be moving on. Dirk, for his part, healed Aragorn, gave Aragorn a ranger sword so he could chop things, gave Boromir Sword of Gondor. So his guys are like an army. I played nothing. Because he's not adding enough to the Twilight Pool, and anything I could play is going to get mowed down by some crazy rangers. He's like, all right, I'm going to keep moving. And I'm like, okay.
Boromir tears stuff up.
Boromir tears stuff up in the hizzy. He's playing with the rare Boromir that can't be overwhelmed unless his strength is tripled. And it's got his sword, so he's just like, oh my god, I'm huge. So I was like, I'm intimidated. So Dark's like, all right, I guess I'll keep moving. So he moved to the Mithril Mine. I'm like, thank you. So I'm able to play the Witch King, Lord of Angmar, and use Morgul Gates to play out Ulyar Enequa. And the Witch King is all like, hey, I'm the head of the Nazgul. He gets stronger for each other Nazgul you can spot. Mike has some fighting, nothing special.
Spot me a Nazgul till the end of the month, man.
Some fighting, nothing special. Enequa stabs Frodo with a billy. Yeah, whenever Enequa wins a battle, they can go ahead and exert themselves to stab Frodo. And Dirk had already moved his limit, but I doubt he would have moved again anyway with the Witch King there. So
I remember reading about Enequa being a pretty hot card, even in decks that weren't really Nazgul decks.
Yeah. He's crazy. Both the regular version and the Twilight Nazgul version. Both versions are in that deck. This all right. It was my turn, and I played Galdor, And then I was going to put Asphaloth the horse on Arwen, and I was like, wait a minute, we're underground, and it would get discarded automatically. So Mike wrote, haha, just kidding. I did give Legolas the long knives, and by this point, I finally have out all the allies that I need. And so right now, just to recap, we got Frodo, Arwen, Legolas, and a random elf dude who are actually companions. And we move to the bridge. And this is where things get interesting. Dark plays out a goblin pursuer and then uses the ability on the bridge to search out the rare Balrog Flame of Odin. He gives it its sword. Luckily, he did not have its whip. And then uses its ability to play Moria Scout from the dead pile or the discard pile. Plays a goblin spear on the scout, plays a goblin scimitar on the pursuer, and scimitar is crazy. It costs no twilight, it pumps power, and when you play it, you draw a card, and he's like, ah ha ha, and the card he drew was a backstabber. And I'm like, So I'm like, maneuver? And he's like, yeah, I got nothing. I'm like, good. Archery? And he's like, yeah, I guess the Balrog will take one. And the Balrog's like, what?
Ow.
Ow. He's like a power like 21 at this point, and he's got something like 5 vitality. So I'm like, I'm gonna die. Legolas managed to kill the pursuer, and when he won, whenever he defeats a minion, he can shoot somebody else. So he shot the backstabber. Arwen stomps the scout. The Balrog eats the other random elf that I had along. And then it was time to decide who else was going to die. And I was like, Legolas is an archer, but Arwen's kind of badass. And any enemy that faces against her right now, because I have 3 allies at home 3, is -3 strength. That's pretty good. So Legolas ate it. Whether or not that was the correct move, I don't know. It felt like the right move at the time. And Dirk's like, you want to keep going? And I'm thinking, you know, we move out of here, the Balrog disappears because it has to be underground. But my guys are kind of dead. So so I'm like, you know, no. So
And a bunch of my minions are still out.
Yeah. There's at least one. I think some of them got dead thanks to Legolas and Legolas shooting. But there's at least one minion. And we'd be moving and adding twilight. And you've already shown me, you know, you can just play things, whap, 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 whap. Because that was, what, like 5 guys at the last place. So I'm just like, no, we're going to cool our heels. This bridge is a nice place to make camp, right? Just ignore the Balrog over there. And
besides, you're great. You shall not pass.
You shall not pass. So Dirk, on his turn, he heals Boromir and moves to the bridge. And I'm like, I don't have the Balrog. I play the Nazgul Atea, and I play Black Breath to my support area, and I'm thinking, hey, I can transfer that when we get into a skirmish.
That's my breath.
He fights me with Arwen, and he uses 2 swordsmen of the Northern Kingdom. I play Frozen by Fear to pump my power, and nothing really happened. I wasn't able to kill Arwen, just kind of nicker a little bit. But because my guy is still around, Dirk says, all right, we're not going anywhere. So it's my turn, and I'm like, I'm looking at my board, and I've like got Frodo and Arwen, and I'm like, this is just not good. And I still can't play the horse because we're still underground. I want to play that horse so bad. Don't underestimate the horses. So I'm like, all right, I make no plays. We move to Dimrildale. Dirk's like, okay, I guess I'll play a scavengers. When I play the scavengers, I get a weapon out of my discard pile. I guess I'll get the scimitar, which draws me into a scrabbler. And I use dangerous gamble to try and add twilight, but ended up getting no twilight, and then played another scrabbler. And that's really it, because I assign the scavengers to Arwen. I assign a scrabbler's to Frodo, and then I can't assign anymore, so Dirk goes, other scrabblers on Frodo, and Frodo's like,
help,
help, and he's overwhelmed, and he dies. So Dirk wins game 1. We don't even make it past site 6. Right?
That is correct.
All right. Game two took a little longer.
That was a pretty chump way for Frodo to go out, I have to say. Overwhelmed by some goblin scrabblers.
He was overwhelmed by goblin scrabblers, yeah. I don't know what to say about that, except sometimes Frodo's a wuss.
What do you mean sometimes?
And takes one for the team.
He didn't have sting or anything. Now, this second game was a little longer, so I'm going to try and move at a bit of a pace. If you feel like I'm skipping anything too important, let me know. Dark is playing the Twilight Denial deck. I think Dark liked that one pretty well. And it's also got Uruk-hai, so that was the choice for him. Mm-hmm. And I was always a Rohan man, and Dark remembers.
Rohan man.
Hey, man.
Suddenly, Rohan became Jamaican.
And Dark, you remember from when we used to play. And Dark doesn't like that.
Yes, I remember hating that deck so much.
And I had the Easterlings and Southerlings. So we had a tie bid, and so Dark had to roll a die. And what happens when Dark rolls a die?
Dark wins. Dark goes first.
So we start the Green Dragon in, Dirk's got out Frodo, son of Drogo, with the One Ring, the Ruling Ring, and he starts with Gandalf, the friend of the Shire folk. Oh, almost looks like some other kind of folk from the way that Mike has it written. That's an F, not a T. Right. I have out Theoden and Éomer. We're at the Dragon Inn. Mike has this written twice.
Yeah.
So Dirk goes first. He plays Sam. He uses Sam to get Bill the Pony. He plays Gimli. He plays Merry. He plays Boromir.
I had a whole bunch of the light guys in my opening hand, so I kept that. and I ended up getting like a whole gob out because the special ability about Gandalf is that he gets stronger the more races are present. So right. Gimli is a dwarf. I've got hobbits. I've got Boromir as a human. So Gandalf is getting +3 to his attack.
Plus, Sam can search out Bill the Pony, which he did, and Bill the Pony reduces the twilight whenever you move, which is also the effect of – well, he actually reduces the shadow number on each of the locations. And then Aragorn, that version of Aragorn that he had says whenever the Fellowship moves during the Fellowship phase, i.e. the first time each turn, remove two twilight. So he's all about like keeping the cost down. And
twilight
then
denial.
He plays Meant to Be Alone where you reveal a card at random from the other person's hand and remove that many twilight counters. And I think he whiffed. But it didn't really matter. It's fairly early in the game, and he only added a couple. So he moved to Site 2, which was the Rohan camp. I play the Desert Lord, who's an archer, and he shoots Gandalf. That's why he has shoots Gandalf written here in the middle of the page. Gandalf gets into a skirmish from the Desert Lord, and Merry actually lends his power to Gandalf. But Dirk stopped at Site 2. I head out, like I said, Theoden and, what's his name?
Éomer,
thank you.
Oh my God!
Sorry, I'm trying to keep.
What's his name?
To remember
what's
that?
His name? Equals Éomer.
I played out Éowyn. I gave Théoden his sword. I put the King's Mail on Théoden, which may have been the most important play of the entire game.
It was.
Because it says he takes no more than one damage during any skirmish and doesn't take any damage outside of skirmish. And played Cymbeline to go get Éomer's spear, to put it on Éomer, so I've added quite a bit of twilight myself, and put a rider's mount on Éomer. So Éomer is all like Superman now. Move to the plains. Dirk plays an Uruk scout to reduce his roaming costs, plays two Uruk savages and an Isengard forager. It says Éomer eats Forger, which is probably correct. Théoden eats Scout. Éowyn hits Savage, so I guess he wasn't hit quite as hard as the other two. And Frodo takes two damage from a Savage, because again, they're all +1. But I wasn't able to finish all of them off, so I'm like, alright, I'm stopping. Dark plays Aragorn to heal Aragorn. He had an extra copy. He plays two times Atlas so he can heal people later. He's just playing people all over the place. And he moves to the throne room. I do nothing. It's written in big words.
Nothing. Because that's how I said it when I was writing it down. Nothing.
Because it's a sanctuary, Dirk decides, okay, well, I'm going to stop here anyway. So I do nothing, and I move to the throne room, and Dirk does nothing. So this is not boring. That. So, but Dirk's like, all right, you know, during his turn, he doesn't play anything, but he moves to the White Rocks. I'm like, okay, I've got some stuff. I'll play an Easterling Axeman and an Easterling Lieutenant.
At some point here, weren't you? You had a bunch of Southron stuff in your hands.
Yeah,
and you couldn't play it because you required more.
Yeah,
because they had to spot other Southrons.
Yeah, I was gonna play one or two Southrons, and I'm like, I don't have any Southrons, so I've got all these Easterling guys. So, like I said, when I was building, I didn't really think of those concerns.
He was like, bad humans, all right, let's throw them all in a deck. No.
They all have the same symbol.
Well, there's no kind of like the North and the South, you know, they're all the same people. Except that they shot each other in this, during the Civil War.
Yeah. So.
That was completely right. That's some real life lore right there from Dirk.
The Axemen went up against Gandalf, and Gandalf is normally much bigger, but I played Men of Run, and so the Axemen ended up dinging Gandalf, and Gandalf's like, I have a ding in my robe now. Merry gets into a fight and plays Severed His Bonds to cancel the fight entirely, and I'm all like, aw. So, but Dirk's like, I'm stopping. I'm like, all right. I play Horse O' Rohan. I'm pretty sure that's not what that's called, Mike.
Horse O' Rohan.
I play Mustang. No. I play a Horse of Rohan and a Rider's Spear on Eowyn. I move to the rocks, and Dirk's all like, woo! So he plays another Uruk Scout, an Isengard Forager, and Saruman. He exerts Saruman to force one of his guys to fight Éomer, and I'm like, okay. And then he exerts himself to make one of his guys to face Éowyn, and I exerted her to prevent it. He did it again. I did it again. And so she kind of stayed out of it, but she was exerted to the point where she was exhausted. And Éomer eats Forager. And I'm pretty sure all the minions died.
Yeah, Éomer is basically
for Saruman.
Yeah. and Saruman can't fight, so he's really just kind of hanging out. So I'm like, okay, all his guys are gone, except for a guy that can't do anything. And I move to the bridge. And luckily, these horses don't care if you're underground. They can jump from rock to rock. They're very good. Dirk plays an elite crossbowman, an Uruk Ravager, and an Uruk Ravager. And luckily, that was it. I was afraid there might be more. The bowman shoots Eowyn to death with ability. Pretty sure that didn't take very long, but he wrote to death. So Éomer eats the crossbowman in revenge. There's lots of people eating, like, orcs. I don't know if that's very good for you.
The horse was doing it. The horse needs fiber.
I just got bored. I didn't want to be writing kill, kill, kill over and over.
Just say he wrote eat, eat, eat over and over.
He's writing kill over and over again.
Point, mind you.
Maybe I was ready for lunch. I don't know.
Theoden got into a fight with a Rager, and this is where it first became obvious that Kingsmail was going to be important, because why are the Uruk-hai so great? Because they'll have damage plus one, and what doesn't he care about? Damage plus one. So he took a wound. We were done. Dirk moved to the bridge, and then said, "Oh crap, I forgot to play something." Oh well. There's lots of scratching out. I think this is where I had the thing in my hand.
Yeah, you kept trying, and you kept putting it out there and failing because you didn't have any other Southrons to spot.
Dirk, Mike had written Easterling Lieutenant, and saw the Ron and scratched that off and wrote in, instead keeps messing up. but I did get to play the Easterling Guard, the Infantry, and the Axemen, which are all Easterlings. Aragorn eats an Axeman, Gandalf eats an Infantry, and Guard actually hit Boromir. And Boromir's like,
ow.
Sure. And Dirk's like, okay, I guess I'm good to keep going. And Dirk moved to the caves of Algarond. I'm all right. I'm like, all right, I'll play an Easterling lieutenant because I can't help but draw lieutenants. And I need to play these guys so I can draw some other cards. Oh, my God. Gandalf eats a lieutenant. Merry pumps Aragorn so that Aragorn can eat somebody else.
Nom, nom, nom.
Nom, nom, nom. All right. And then he has to stop. I play out an elite rider, and I give him Brego, which is a horse. It's not like Prego.
That's a sauce.
That is a sauce.
Sauce me, Jay.
Dirk plays out an Uruk Rager, plays out an Uruk Guard, plays out the Tower of Orthonk, plays out Saruman's Ambition, all these conditions, and plays Ugluk's Sword on a Rager, who is not Ugluk. It says Aomer honorable charges all over Rager, which sounds about right. Theoden, I played work for the sword with him versus a guard. The guard, however, was bred for battle, according to Dirk. So the guard wins, and Theoden's like, I take a damage. And Dirk's like, gosh darn it. I'm done. Dirk plays no stranger to the shadows in Aragorn. He plays Sting, which we all agreed glows.
but not in this case.
But not in this case. Because I had no...
There are no orcs. There's only humans in my, and Sting in my hand. Doesn't glow without orcs.
Exactly. Or goblins. And he played Mithril Coat on Frodo, which is kind of like Kingsmail, but shinier.
And more expensive.
And more and valuable, yeah.
It's worth the whole of the Shire.
Yes. And then some, I think. And then they moved to the Hornburg Causeway. I played a Desert Lord and a Southron troop, which is what I was trying to play earlier. Yay, Desert Lord. Southern. And because I can spot so many of his companions, if we actually get to the assignment phase, I can spot those guys. And I believe it's 7 or more companions, and assign my huge guy, the Southern troop, to Frodo, which is bad for Dirk. However, he can go ahead and just discard a companion from play to stop that. But we didn't even get that far, because at this point, the causeway adds like +2 archery to the minion total for each companion over 4. So there's a million arrows coming. I think the archery total was 7 coming at the fellowship. And it says, Gimli eats arrows. So yeah, Dirk's like, well, breakfast. I have too many companions. I need to kill one anyway. Hey, Gimli. And Gimli's like, what? He's like, go stand right here. No, to your left a little bit. All right. Stand right there.
Stand on that big red X.
And so Gimli eats arrows. And then there's some skirmishing. Gandalf becomes a little weaker, but he's able to skirmish pretty well. And the troop actually overwhelms Sam. And the Desert Lord actually hits Gandalf. So Dirk's like, I'm not doing anything. So I move to the causeway, and I don't have enough guys that I trigger the whole, you know, extra arrows, and Dirk plays nothing.
So I'm like, yeah, I end up drawing and having a whole handful of light things.
Right. So, but I'm like, you know, there's a ton of twilight here. We're just gonna hold tight. Dirk, on his turn, heals Gandalf. He plays Betrayal of Isengard, which really doesn't do anything. Account for not being seen, which is yet more Twilight denial, and moves to the Wizard's Vale, which is Site 8. So we're getting close to the end. I play Easterling Captain and Lieutenant x2. Mary, Aragorn gets into a fight with one of the lieutenants, and Mary pumps him, so he actually kills the lieutenant. The lieutenant hits Frodo, and the captain hits Gandalf and kills Mary. That's pretty impressive. So Dark's like, I can't move. I've got all these guys on my tail. I'm like, good, because I'm not holding many shadow cards. I move to the Wizard's Vale, and without playing anything else. And Dirk plays Ugluck, an Uruk-hai raiding party, and gives both of them swords. We get him some skirmishing. Aomer skirmishes and plays Works with a Sword, and times two. And Dirk discards his Saruman's ambition for Ugluck, but Aomer still eats the orc. And the raiding party hits Theoden. At this point, I'm like, okay, this is eight. I'm going to go ahead and just go to Site 9, and if I survive, I win. Dirk plays an Orthonk assassin, an Uruk scout, and beyond the height of men, killing the king's mail.
Yay.
He wanted to use it to kill, I believe he said, Aomer's bleeping horse. And I'm like, it has to be like
an shield armor.
A shield armor or helm. And he's like, all right, I want to get rid of the spear. And I'm like,
that's not.
And he's like, yes. Okay.
But I wanted his spear and his stupid horse gone so bad.
Yeah, because they were wrecking your guys a little bit.
Yeah.
So
Dirk trying to reason about Aomer wearing the horse as a hat or something like that.
There was something about wearing a horse as a hat. So Aomer eats the assassin, the rider eats the scout, and the raiding party actually kills Theoden. And they're like, yeah. But Frodo survives.
Frodo keeps running on down.
Runs down to Mount Doom and throws the ring in and is like, yay! And they have a party.
Spoiler alert!
Do, 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 do.
And if there are women there, he wants to do them.
As long as they're short hobbit women.
Well, I don't know. You never know. So that was Lord of the Rings. So now we've taken some time on that and we've got another game to go through. But I wanted to talk to Mike and Chewie really quick and say, what were your impressions?
It was very entertaining to watch it play out and to watch the battles play out and to watch people run around.
It really was, which I didn't think it would be.
In the game. Mm-hmm. The way the story played out on each side, because that's what you're really doing. Each side is doing its own little story and the other side is trying to interfere with it. It was fun to watch.
Cool.
I didn't mind that I was just sitting there taking notes. I was still being entertained.
Very good.
And I didn't mind that I was sitting there staring at the walls, playing with the cats. Actually, I guess it was the cat and the dog.
So that's Lord of the Rings. They don't really make the game anymore, so cards are kind of hard to come by. But if you have the chance, you should give it a shot. It was pretty entertaining. We're going to take our small break from our advertisers and let them talk to you for a little bit. Maybe have some music for you. You know, let's all head out to the lobby, and we'll be back in about 5 to 10, or I guess for you guys, in just a minute. So stay with us.
Yeah, that music you just heard, it was something new I actually just discovered last week. They're called, what are they called? Hang on, let me look. Swift. And the name of that song is Whack It? Oh, hang on. No, that was Diamond. Diamond by Swift.
So, thanks for going out and doing that for us, Chewie. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I'll send you the file so you can put it in.
Great. All right. We've taken a little bit of time with that. We're going to move on to one of the most complicated games in the world. And this is going to be like the 5-minute version. Because listeners...
Even the 5-minute version is going to take 20 minutes.
Listeners, as interesting as this game is, I do find it interesting. It is the most complicated game in the world. So,
Can I issue a spoiler alert?
What's that?
This game was miserable if you're not playing. Dirk, I actually dozed off. Dirk got to the point where he got sick of taking notes and started writing stuff like, and a bunch of stuff happens and I don't care.
Yeah.
So I had to go.
Well, I think there was one in there that was like, something happens and Chewie's asleep and going something through, happens, going dog through, barks.
Going through these notes was a little harder than going through the Lord of the Rings notes. Not so much
you, it,
people
it wasn't
getting
all that
eaten.
Much better to be playing the game.
So, but let's go into it. Mike, would you please give us a very abbreviated version of how this game works?
Okay, it's actually all very simple. You're playing Star Wars, and there's the light side and there's the dark side. And one person is playing a light side deck with the rebels and the good guys and stuff, and the other person is playing the dark side deck with the Imperials and the other bad guys and the bounty hunters and whatever. And you go to different locations and planetary systems in the Star Wars universe, and you get in your spaceships and you shoot at each other, and you get on the ground and you shoot blasters and swing lightsabers at each other, and your life is the Force. And the Force is represented by your deck. So every time you take, you know, damage, you actually take cards from your deck or your hand and you put them in the discard pile. And when it's all out, that's when you lose and the other person wins. It's actually a very simple premise. Since the problem is every single card is a wall of text, and it only got worse as the as new sets kept coming out.
And the flavor in this game is top notch, but like they say things like, you know, there's a card that says crazy wizard steps in and revives your character and not Obi-Wan. And I'm like, and then it has to act, the reminder text is actually what the card actually does.
Yes. Oh, I love that. They stopped doing that after a while. That was only in the first, really in the first, in Limited and in New Hope that they kept doing that.
There was a guy early on that said, essentially when he kills a character, he eats its soul and removes it from play. But when he kills a character, it says, when he kills a character, he eats his soup. And it's like, oh, by the way, you know, this character's removed from play, da 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 da. And he adds his power to this guy. But he has to eat the soup. What that has to do with Star Wars, I'm not entirely sure.
God, I love soup.
So, now, because this game is so hyper-technical, rather than even going through the decks and doing a complete play-by-play, like I activate 8 Force or whatever, I'm going to tell you what happened in these games. I'm going to do it from the narrative of, like, because the game, the cards tell a story as if you were watching it happen. So, here we go. And I'm going to try and skip anything irrelevant, but for the purposes of more or less letting you know what's going on. Here we go. So Star Wars Game 1, the Chandrilla Conflict, because that's really what it was. All right.
Chandrilla?
So, Chandrilla.
That is also the homeworld of Mon Mothma.
Is it now? Thank you.
It is.
Lore Master. That explains why she deploys less there. Ah, ha, 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 ha. It's all making sense.
Holy crap.
So, our first game is actually in outer space. The Empire was trying to accelerate its plans of creating the second Death Star in orbit of the Endor moon. Was Endor the name of the moon? They kept saying Endor moon.
It was Endor's forest moon.
Okay. Yeah. Of the Endor moon under the direction of Moff Gergerod, who was in the throne room. Meanwhile, the rebellion haven at the rendezvous point at Parsec 13 was actually trying to establish a secret base, hint, hint, at the Alderaan system, although the Empire didn't know it. The Empire knew that such a base was being established, but they didn't know where. Moff Gergerod oversaw construction of various Death Star 2 sectors in order to tie Interceptor to protect the battle system itself, with backup from an early warning network to scramble fighters if the enemy appeared. That kind of mattered. The Rebellion upgraded their B-Wings and X-Wing fighters with S-Foils and played a B-Wing bomber. It was designated to patrol the rendezvous point. So that's kind of.
Now you're taking too long.
Yeah, just. Dude, seriously, skip a bunch of stuff.
Okay. After activating the Endor shield at the bunker on Endor moon, and. sorry, stupid moon. Baron Soontir Fel showed up and said, "Oh, protect the bunker." And the Empire felt that the battle system was coming along well, and they went ahead and dispatched the Star Destroyer Chimera to Chandrilla to draw out the rebel scum. That it did. The rebels were like, oh crap, the Chimera. They responded by deploying the massive Mon Calamari Star Cruiser Home One to Chandrilla. And Chimera was like, oh crap! And the two starships fought, and although both survived, the Chimera took some damage. Neither side wanted to surrender, this potentially substantial resource, apparently. We didn't know the game was going to be about Chandrila, but apparently it was. The Empire, frustrated by this unexpected threat to its occupation, added a Death Squadron Star Destroyer. The Rebellion responded by playing the capital starship Independence.
Like a million things.
Yeah. And meanwhile, the other rebel forces scouted some other places, and with the base on Alderaan completed, the rebels phoned Moff Gergerod and told him that, quote, systems will slip through your fingers, and hung up real fast. So that objective was completed. The search for the base was to become a priority, and the Empire's resources became more difficult to access anywhere else. The Death Squadron Star Destroyer, that's long, was lost as a result of a battle. Finally, the Empire's like, yay, we finished the Death Star 2. We've got a reactor core, we've got a super laser. At least one rebel was heard to exclaim, that thing's operational. Grand Moff Tarkin joined the crew above the Chimera and got a TIE interceptor, but unfortunately, Admiral Ozzel showed up and ruined everything.
I hate that guy.
He has no destiny. At a break between hostilities, the Empire sent a probe down to the surface of Chandrila, and there were no rebels. The rebels deployed more starships, Liberty, overseen by General Calrissian himself, along with some X-Wing fighters. With this huge force, the Imperial forces at Chandrila were wiped out. Lando's not a system, he's a man. The fully functional Death Star 2 system suddenly came out of light speed above Chandrila, and the light side forces were like, oh crap! And then they're like, wait, we're okay. And they moved there, and there were some TIE interceptors there. The final confrontation broke out. Another TIE interceptor came in, but the X-Wings were like, hey, all wings report in, and we've got an organized attack plan. The Empire had so run out of resources, it couldn't even really fire both its super laser and anything else. So they're like, crap. And they lost. The Rebels won the battle and the day, and the Death Star 2's just kind of hanging out there like, hey, I work. It was never blown up. Guys, so that was game one. How was that?
That is playing it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, this one, I really don't want to go on too long, but I kind of like this one. I call it Star Wars Game 2, Obi-Wan's Got Game, because this was all about Obi-Wan.
Oh, that was awesome, yes.
All right, the second game of the day is focused
on game.
Site locations, the Manipool. War game, rather than space systems. While the Empire was taking a nap, possibly reeling from its defeat at Chandrila, the aliens at Jabba's palace in the Court of the Vile Gangster decided that their time had come. Jabba ordered bounty hunters from across the galaxy to bring him prisoners so that he might feed them to his pets for amusement. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Meanwhile, meanwhile,
did you do that again?
I don't know that I can. Anyway, meanwhile,
I say you got to do it like.
No, Mike did it better anyway.
Girl, what's your name is?
Meanwhile, the rebels decided to land a ground offensive at the Empire's base of operations on the Endor moon. Ortug,
a lot of time there.
Ortug, the head of Jabba's Gamorrean guards, joined bounty hunter Bane Malar at the audience chamber of Jabba's palace to discuss politics. Their conversation is cut short, however, when Obi-Wan Kenobi, alive and well, suddenly appeared with them. In a brief struggle, Bane was killed. Outraged when he learned of this, Jabba placed a bounty on Obi-Wan. Boba Fett came to Jalas Palace looking for Obi-Wan, but even between Boba and Ortug, they could not overcome him. Ortug died, and Boba fled to Jabba's dungeon to escape the mass-murdering Jedi. A Gamorrean guard comes and actually hides with Boba. As this is going on, completely different, Daughter of Skywalker, Leia, assumed command of the rebel effort at the back door of the Imperial bunker with an Ewok sentry bodyguard. Strange, she thinks. Yes, yes, back door. Strange, she thinks. The place is completely empty. They grab a nearby speeder bike and sit tight to wait for reinforcements. All right. Issuing the order to have them all wrapped up, Jabba makes a standing order that bounty hunters that defeat any opponent are to capture them rather than kill them. Flanked now by two Gamorrean guards, Boba re-entered the audience chamber and challenged Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan used his standard Jedi mind trick to convince one of the guards to go back to the dungeon. And Boba Fett lost again, managing to fake his own death and sneak away.
Force has great influence over the weak-minded.
It's true. It's really hard to fake your own death and sneak away when there's a mass murdering Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Why? I have a quick question.
Sure.
To try to get our listeners interested again. Why is Boba Fett such an icon? In the movies, think about it. He didn't do anything.
It's because he had a bucket on his head.
It's because he showed up in the second movie.
And he had a jetpack.
He showed up in the second movie, and he was a fairly central figure at the end. And viewers were like, this guy's got armor. That's cool. And then the third movie, he dies horribly.
Spoiler.
Well, you know.
But, like, think about it. What did he do? He stood there while they pushed a Han Solo frozen carbonite onto his ship. And he's like, thanks. Here's your tip.
Well, the thing is
pretty
that,
much.
Something else that just does is that Boba Fett's green. Who wears green?
I guess you have
that's
to.
Like, I know, right?
A horrible color.
You have to be hardcore to wear green. Color.
Why is he green?
Maybe it was St. Patrick's Day.
No.
So
I don't know.
Anyway.
So Boba Fett snuck away. Meanwhile, back on Endor, daughter of Skywalker directed an Endor scout trooper. Some corporals and a captain to hold the dense forest. There were no sightings of any Imperials, but the lunch hour wasn't up yet. So they're like, okay, maybe they're just out. Effant Mon and Bosk, the bounty hunter, hearing of Obi-Wan's terrorist attacks in the palace, make their way to the audience chamber. Effant Mon is murdered, but Bosk holds his ground, and three Gamorrean guards, one smart enough to actually have an axe, show to back him up. Finally, Obi-Wan comes at Bosk, but trips on his own feet, and Bosk manages to capture him when he falls into his arms. Somehow, Jabba, who is apparently away from the palace at this point, sends the message to Obi-Wan that he will enjoy watching him die. Bosk claims the bounty on Obi-Wan, and the dark side of the Force was happy. Daughter of Skywalker calls for a rapid deployment of some Endor scout troopers. There's all these troopers on Endor, and now all the Ewoks start coming out. Wooda, Paplu, and a nameless Ewok sentry with a bow take control of the rebels' landing site. She tries to go on Facebook to see where all the Imperials on Endor are, but her iPhone has zero bars because it's the woods. I don't know if that was funny or not. I'll just keep going.
I wasn't listening.
It'd only be funny if it was in the back door.
Okay.
Yeah, that was funny.
Just then, the totally not dead Boba Fett and fellow bounty hunter Judo Cast, who's kind of like Boba Fett but not green, arrive at the bunker's back door and try to capture her, but they're bad at it. Judo dies, and Boba ends up capturing the Ewok sentry by mistake. Then, after making a dirty backdoor joke to Daughter of Skywalker, flees to inside the bunker.
Oh, in the back door.
As the numerous scouts on Endor are all of a sudden recalled to the back door, Boba remembered he had a jetpack on.
Damn, she fat!
And flew to the landing platform just in time to catch the last flight to Tatooine. Obi-Wan falls victim to the audience chamber's trapdoor, falling into the Rancor pit. As the Rancor closes in on him, however, Obi-Wan summons his strength and crashes the portal down on it, killing it instantly. All of the collective aliens gasped in amazement and frustration. Could anything kill this guy? Jabba pretty much assumes that he isn't going to get to enjoy watching Obi-Wan die and reinstates his Court of the Vile gangster. Now freed, Obi-Wan looks to resume his killing spree with IG-88, who followed Obi-Wan to Jabba's dungeon. IG-88 fired his modified riot gun, but missed by a mile and was taken apart. Daughter of Skywalker deployed Chewie's stolen AT-ST to the landing platform to wait for more visitors, then sat back for a moment. She wondered what Fett meant by back door. Boba Fett, hearing that Obi-Wan was on the loose, decided to skip going back to Jabba's palace and instead brought his captive Ewok to the Great Pit of Carcoon. A friend of Ewoks and other endangered species everywhere, Luke Skywalker, Jedi Knight, came to the pit to save his sister's friend. Unfortunately, he was immediately eaten by the Sarlacc.
Yeah.
Aww, who ate the Ewok for dessert. Boba Fett, deciding that Obi-Wan was not as scary as the Sarlacc, returned to the audience chamber. Almost there. General Solo arrived at the dungeon to help Obi-Wan defend against Bosk and the Gamorreans, not that he needed it, and this finally prompted Jabba to get off his butt and show up to take control of the dungeon. Obi-Wan convinced the one guard holding the X to go play elsewhere, then stabbed Jabba in the head. Bosk, bounty hunter of the year, apparently managed to capture Solo for a moment. However, all the evil aliens in Jabba's court were horrified by the events surrounding Obi-Wan and the death of their master, and facing dwindling resources, surrendered to the Mad Jedi. Meanwhile, having received no orders from anyone, Daughter of Skywalker attempted to blow up the bunker but failed due to not having enough explosives. Frustrated and bored, she took Wooda up on his offer for drinks. The end.
And what I'm really sad is that was far more entertaining than that game was.
And yet, all of that came out of how we played.
Yeah. Needs more backdoor.
Needs more. What about Obi-Wan killing people? Did it have enough Obi-Wan killing people? Because when I look back through the notes, I'm like, man!
For the record, you can never have enough Obi-Wan killing people.
So, briefly, the people that watched, I have a feeling I know how this is going to go, but your comments on the game?
Well, Mike and I actually discussed some of the weak points in the game. Actually, Brian, you were there too, yeah. Out on the road when we were trying to leave.
Not, and it was nighttime, so we weren't being, you know, run over.
Maybe you weren't. Mike ran me over when he left your driveway. But we should bring some of those up.
Yeah. Like I was saying earlier, pretty much every card is a wall of text. Like, there's no such thing as a vanilla character in the game. I mean, maybe... Okay, I have a vague memory of seeing one character that was in, like, the first set that didn't have any special text in his box.
That was... completely blank text versions for Han, Leia... and like Tarkin and Mahdi, and it was like,
I remember
here
those in the two player starter set.
Yeah, it's like, so you can play with these characters. Those are the only ones I know of. Everybody else had at least something.
Yeah, but otherwise everything, like even a stormtrooper has some special text on it.
Oh yeah.
And as the game progressed, the power creep and complexity creep got to the point where if you have too many cards in play, trying to figure out what the game state actually is based on all the weird interactions just makes you want to die.
Yeah, there were several times where something as simple as a force drain at this location just completely got missed. And a couple of those times, it could have really mattered.
Yeah.
Because Mike was trying to remember so much of what was going on.
I think
he's
I
like,
might have accidentally force drained a couple times where I wasn't supposed to.
See?
Because Chewie's AT-ST doesn't actually have a permanent pilot, so it doesn't actually provide any presence where it's.
Yeah, it doesn't have. But that's the thing. So many of those are like, you know, permanent pilot is Chewbacca, you know, or like permanent pilot is Vader and friends and your mom, you know, so.
Your stupid face.
Okay, so that was Star Wars.
Wait a minute, were we done with the issues with the game?
No.
I didn't think we were.
There are way too many cards that mention very specific other things.
Oh, yeah.
So that they don't do anything except for maybe 5% of the time. And when they do, you're probably going to miss it because it only happens 5% of the time.
And the reason you miss it is because you're keeping track of all the other crap on the board that does things.
Yeah. It's like they'd print a card that says, you know, cancels this, you know, this card. I still remember there was some foreshadowing. They knew they were going to print it anyway, but there was a card in like the very first set that was something like Boring Conversation Anyway or something, and it canceled these specific cards. It canceled like, you know, I'm Here to Rescue You and da 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 and this and Ewok Rescue. And it was in Premiere, so, and they did it by movie, so it was like, oh, they're gonna print, but you know what? It's Ewoks.
It was like, many years before.
Yeah.
That got printed.
And Ewok Rescue really isn't that good because it relies on Ewoks, so I don't know if that was necessary.
And Ewoks are good if you need some dingleberries.
The problem, another problem was the reason there were so many silver bullet cards printed was because there was nothing resembling a rotation schedule for tournament play. Just like everything was legal all the time. And that's another reason why the power creep got out of control.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, why would you even play with new cards if they weren't better than the old ones?
Occasionally, they did have specified formats. Like, they had a format called Bespin and Beyond, which was only Cloud City and Beyond. But those are always seen as the aberration. And, you know, can we get back to playing with all of our cards? Because, you know, I've got this Premiere Darth Vader.
At that point, I'd see articles and inquests about, you know, several months in a row about the top decks being, you know, a handful of locations, and the rest of the deck is just copies of Irradio Operative. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's great. That's a really healthy game.
Woo! Into the Asteroids.
Oh, man. That was actually kind of decent. That took some finesse. Hiding in the Asteroids.
Yeah. Silly Rykar's run. He's an idiot.
I am amused by the simplicity of this game.
At a certain point, even if you really do like the game, at a certain point for everyone, it just becomes a chore to finish it. Like, you want to stop just because there's too many cards in play, too many effects going on, you've been playing too long, one person might be completely locked out, but for some reason the other person just can't up and win yet.
You are completely reliant on your deck, and there will be times where both players are kind of at a stalemate. It's not the good sort of, we'll get through this stalemate, but the sort of like, who's going to draw themselves out of force first sort of stalemate. I have had some really good times with this game, I will say, and I've had some very frustrating times with this game. I changed up, I don't know that we'll ever get a chance to play again, but I did change the Endor one on the light side. Mm-hmm. To you can either profit by this or be destroyed deck. So now both that deck is meant to be played against the Jabba's Court one. Both of them center on Tatooine. Both center on the same couple sites. So you'll have that interaction and you won't have that sort of like Jabba Skywalker right. And all these people on Endor just like, hello, hello, hello.
Oh, yeah. If your decks are built around different planets, there is almost no interaction.
It turns into force drains, and that's it.
Mm. Yeah, actually, Brian built.
I was still having fun through A New Hope and Hoth because, you know, those Tatooine and Hoth were the two planets everyone was playing on, so you still had some back and forth.
Mm.
But after that, adding more planets to the mix, it just got kind of dumb.
What were you going to say, Chewie?
For the purposes of this, Brian actually built a light side deck and a dark side deck that focused on space battle, and then a pair of decks, one for each side, that focused on the ground.
Yeah.
And that's what we played against each other, so that they wouldn't be stupid, boring. Well, they were still stupid and boring, but so they wouldn't be ridiculously stupid and boring non-interactive games. At least there was some interaction going on.
Playing a site-oriented deck against a system-oriented deck is the epitome of uninteraction because there won't be any unless you have any sort of, like, bombing run or something. Then you can murder the people on the ground, but that's a separate story. Maybe
like Obi-Wan.
Yeah, but with bombs. So
murder you like I was Obi-Wan Kenobi.
But now I do think, unless there's anything in particular we want to say about it, let's move on. That was the main topic, but those of you that have been listening for a while know that we have a regular feature, Chewie's Comment Corner, and he – because he's kind of the odd man out and he doesn't play a lot of card games, I know you're all about the Yu-Gi-Oh!, but this was kind of an off week for us as far as that's concerned. So
we can't blow Yu-Gi-Oh! All the time.
Yeah. So I'm going to turn it over to Chewy, give up my host mantle for a moment, see how it fits on the Chewy's head, and Chewy.
Same way it fits during this segment every week, Pinky.
You you have the floor.
Oh,
get your game on.
Get my game on. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Some quick hits this time. I'm here for all my usual pop culture nonsense. That is not it. Here it is. Perfect Dark, the Nintendo 64 masterpiece
of
first-person shooter, was released this week? Last week? Same thing. Whatever. On Xbox 360. Finally. In the arcade. And I downloaded it immediately. The graphics have been overhauled to make it pretty. Well, prettier than it was, because it's kind of blocky, because it was on the 64.
I might have to come and check that out.
Oh, it is hardcore. Everybody played GoldenEye back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
But
hearing
GoldenEye,
you talk right now about Perfect Dark made me want to play GoldenEye again.
Yeah, but GoldenEye was crap compared to Perfect Dark, because Perfect Dark was supposed to be the next game in the series. It's by Rare, before Microsoft bought Rare outright. But they lost the license to do James Bond, so they just created a whole new fiction.
With aliens.
With aliens. Good old Elvis.
Elvis. Yeah.
Gotta love Elvis. Elvis is hardcore. But none of that matters. I mean, the story was great. If you loved GoldenEye, then Perfect Dark, you will just drool on yourself. But the real place it shined was multiplayer, because it was the first – well, it was the game that perfected split-screen multiplayer on a console. This is way before Halo and all that nonsense. This was the one you played. And if for no other reason than the fact that you didn't have to have multiplayer, you could play – you could make bots. Everybody remembers making – I think what was the limit? You could make 12.
Mm-hmm. And then you could change the level of difficulty for the bots. And there was one bot. Was it like the elite bot? Or there was some bot he would go around and one-shot kill you.
Yeah, the elite sim or the assassin sim or something like that. Like, I was going to say, everybody remembers you and your four buddies, or you and your three buddies, playing against, like, 12 meat sims and just racking up the kills. First one to 100 wins.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great, but it was also really great to put all four of you against one of the – I can't remember what he's called, but the hardest sim bot, and watching as you just get mown down like he's Obi-Wan or something.
Huh.
He's just like, rah. You're like, oh, I got – I'm dead. You got him? Oh, you're dead too. He's right there. Oh, you're dead too. Damn.
We all remember those games at the dorm. I remember him popping into a room and just – sliding by the room, and there'd be all, it was like all of us, there were four of us. He hit every one of us in that room with one shot.
Freaking far sight.
And we gunned down that entire way he walked, and none of us hit him. And we were on one shot kill.
Oh, wow. That's cold. But like, this was before I met you guys. I don't think I ever played Perfect Dark with you guys.
No.
But, me and my roommate Kedron, not Kedron, my roommate Kedron's friend David, we had a biology class together, and it was dreadfully boring. It was like bio for bozos, we called it. And we would always sit next to each other in class and be like, hey, man. He's like, yeah? We should totally go play Perfect Dark. He's like, aight. We would just get up. I would get up and walk out, and I'd wait outside for a second, and he would get up and walk out the other door. And we would meet around, and we'd go back to my room, and we'd play Perfect Dark. I passed that class with a 97, by the way, so all of y'all kiss my ass. But yeah, so Perfect Dark is on the 360. It's only 800 points, which is $10, which is a freaking steal.
That's ridiculous.
That was, and that's well worth the money right there.
It's completely nuts. So everybody check that out. More news. Fallout 3, I'm still playing. It's awesome. I'm almost done. I've done two of the downloadable content packs, and I've only got three left. I did the pit, where you actually go to Pittsburgh, and having been to Pittsburgh multiple times throughout my life, it's just like it, actually. The cancer, the confluence of the three highly radioactive rivers, yeah, it's just like Pittsburgh. I'm pretty sure Phil was one of the slaves, actually. Anyway, let's see. What else? Rock Band news. Time for my weekly Rock Band update. They released a Lady Gaga 4-pack. It's Bad Romance.
Yeah, they finally gone nuts.
Yes, it's Bad Romance, Monster,
Poker Face,
and Just Dance, which I had no idea that was Lady Gaga. I love that song, but
I'm the phrase of Daughter of Vader at the back door keeps popping in my head. That should have been a Lady Gaga song.
Lady Gaga is in fact a female. I've seen proof. Anyway, don't ask. What was I going to say? Oh, and they also released the Eric Cartman version of Poker Face.
Wow.
Which is exactly the same, except instead of Lady Gaga, it's Cartman.
I'm deeply afraid now.
And it's $2. I'm like, screw that. I'll just get the original. Scott wants me, that's my roommate, since I've never mentioned him before ever. My roommate wants me to get the Lady Gaga 4-pack and asked him why. And he said, so we can get some belly dancers in here and play Rock Band. And I was like, let's get the Lady Gaga song. So hopefully he'll hook that up and get some belly dancers in here and play Rock Band, because that would be awesome. Okay, enough of that. I saw Alice in Wonderland in theaters. It was pretty entertaining. I mean, Scott claimed it was one of Tim Burton's best. I disagree, but it is entertaining.
I want to see it.
I do like the Hatter. He has this random – he's playing two characters that keep – fighting for attention. There's the Hatter, and then there's this crazy, angry Scottish man. And it's really pretty funny, actually.
Mm. Okay, that almost makes it sound like Shrek, but...
No. I said angry.
So how many Chewbaccas would it earn?
Definitely like 3.5.
Okay. Out of 5?
Out of 5, yeah, as always. But let's see what else. I've been reading comics. I'm reading Fables. Fables is pretty cool. It's based on all the fairy tale characters that you know and love from growing up. You know, Snow White, the Big Bad Wolf, anybody from vaguely fairy tale-ish, you know, the Baba Yaga, freaking Pinocchio and Geppetto. I mean, all of these characters all got chased out of their worlds by this big bad guy called the Adversary, and they moved to the U.S. back in the day, and now they live in this little town, section of Manhattan called Fable Town, completely hiding amongst the mundane people. So yeah, it's really, really great. The entire first book, which collects the first, I think, 6 issues, is a murder mystery because Rose Red has been killed. Rose Red is Snow White's sister. Which lots of people don't remember that because, you know, it wasn't in the Disney movie. But yeah. The Three Little Pigs, the Three Bears, Goldilocks, Bluebeard, you remember him, the guy that married his wife and then would kill them on their wedding night? Yeah, that was before the general amnesty, though. Anyway, Old King Cole, oh yeah, he's a merry old soul. He worries a bit much, though. Anyway, okay, now... Don't laugh at me, guys. It was a deal of the week a few weeks ago, and I couldn't resist. Since I played it a few times back in the day, I did download the Duels of the Planeswalkers, that Magic the Gathering game. You guys remember Magic?
Come on, man.
Well,
so no.
Well, you said it was a deal of the week, right? How much was it?
It was. It's usually $10, but they had it on sale for $5. 400 points.
Oh, okay, that's not too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. you can't fault me too much, but it was
no third degree. It's cool.
It's actually sort of entertaining.
Okay.
I mean, I never really liked Magic all that much, but $5, you know, I'll try anything for $5. Do you guys remember that time I did that thing for $5? Never mind, that wasn't you. Actually, it wasn't me. Never mind. Backdoor.
Wait, if that wasn't you, who was that?
Mike's brother. Hot.
It's true. It's true.
We had settings at this episode, man.
We even talked about him
in the picture. We didn't say it. You should be proud of us.
No, you would have had to restrain yourselves for the entire length of the show for me to be appreciative.
Yeah, well.
At least he's not as angry as he usually sounds. Maybe he's just tired.
But anyway, I did download it. I played through it. It's fairly entertaining. I mean, if you like Magic, I'm sure it's more fun. Okay. I just like playing with the kids. I even got the expansion for it or some DLC for it. It was a few bucks. And that was cool, too. It's just a couple new decks.
Okay.
And they actually announced a new one that's coming out sometime in the next little while. Where, okay, Mike, you played Magic a long time ago, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Did you ever hear of Nicol Bolas? I think Nick Nickel? Is that it?
Yeah, he was
that like
a,
50
he was
cent.
How much does he cost?
He's a quarterback. Wah, wah.
Is he like 50 cent? Or
yeah, yeah, yeah. But he, apparently he's a big player or something because he's the bad guy in the expansion. He's the final boss, as it were. His yeah, deck is. And in the expansion.
Kind of
I know. I don't know why they would.
Pick out of the game.
Yeah, he's like. From
a card game
years
as a final boss? That's just okay.
It is a little weird, but in this new expansion, you get to play his deck. And hang on, I got it. I found the link actually. Somebody
I was about to say, does he have like a like? Is he sort of like the final boss in the Final Fantasies? Does he have like a couple different forms he goes through?
No. You're just playing against
his deck.
You beat
one deck, and then yeah, you beat one deck, and then he's like, "Oh wait, I'm not done yet. Here's my second deck."
Okay, here we go. Apparently, Soren Markov.
Sounds Russian.
It does, actually. It has returned to Zendikar. I don't even know what that means, but it's...
That's a lot of words.
It's the second expansion. It's got three new cards for all the decks, and there's a lot of decks, especially once you get the first expansion. Good lord. Plus you get this Nicol Bolas' deck, and then you get Rice the Redeemed's deck. And Chandra Naller's Heat of Battle deck, which is weird. She's already got a deck. She's like this fire chick. I think she'd look really good covered in olive oil.
Do you think all women would look good in olive oil?
That is also true.
I thought you were more of a vinaigrette man.
Ancho Chipotle Ranch. But anyway, yeah, that's... In case anybody's played that, there's another expansion coming out sometime. I don't know when. They didn't say. But I played it. I sort of enjoyed it. And I was never a big Magic fan. So, yeah, if anybody likes that.
If
definitely get Perfect Dark. For God's sake, get Perfect Dark.
We're all about the games. You know, we're not hater-raters.
Hater-raters?
So. Yeah, but I'm still more interested when the Yu-Gi-Oh! Games come out on the Xbox.
Yeah. Are they going to – I know they release them on the DS like – it's like every other month, but it's still not fast enough for me.
Yeah, I'm still addicted to the Pokemon Platinum one.
What is it, Soul Silver? Oh, okay.
No, I never got all –
Soul
never
Silver got, and Heart Gold.
Yeah, isn't that like a remake? Since my DS is still broken, I haven't been able to play it. So I have no idea what it's about because it just depresses me.
It's like a remake of Gold and Silver, but it also comes with this pedometer.
Oh, to see how pedo you were?
No. It's the thing that, you know, you can...
So you don't say that. I'm so sorry.
No, pedo bear.
right down the tie.
And you clip it on, and this is a real thing. You know, you can buy it at the store, but this is a specialized version. And you can wear it anywhere, and it tells you like how far you walk. But this thing like levels up your Pokemon while you're walking around.
Pokemans, yeah. What according to Penny Arcade, what you do is you strap it on your kid and you tell them to go play.
Yeah, but I saw the news article related to that, and I was like, interesting technology. Anything else going on in the world of the Chewy?
I love my job. No.
Okay.
I'm so glad I get to see you guys like every week.
Yeah. Well, you know, we would die if we didn't get together every couple days.
Yeah.
So I don't even want to think about what that would be like.
Well, Easter's coming up, so we're going to have to think about it.
You know how I love some ham. Your mom makes a mean ham. She doesn't know a squat about spaghetti, but she makes a mean ham.
It is pretty mean.
Meaner than Obi-Wan?
See,
nothing is that mean.
Your dad's going to be there, right, too?
Oh, yeah.
Your dad's going to be there, too, right?
Right, too?
He gets it, right?
This is a weird conversation when he gets involved.
All right. Why are you asking about the old
fun to hang out with, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Yes. Well, if that's pretty much the
boring conversation anyway.
Boring conversation anyway. That'll cancel Ewok Rescue.
So, well, that's been our episode so far. I think let's go ahead and close things out. As always, we've got final considerations. So, Dirk, final considerations.
Lord of the Rings was a lot of fun to play. Star Wars, it was a lot more entertaining to listen to the commentary and listen to what was going on than it was to watch the game.
Well, I tried to put that into the commentary too.
Yeah,
to make it a little more interesting because I knew that you guys were kind of, you were on life support by the time we were done.
The only thing that I will say is daughter of Vader at the back door.
Daughter of Skywalker.
There you go.
In the back door.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe when Mike played her, he said, I'm going to play Daughter of Skywalker in the back door, and that was the joke for the rest of the day.
Damn, she fat!
So, let's keep moving. That's final considerations, Mike. I run a pretty tight ship here.
Yeah. I have to admit, I was also thinking about Magic the other day, since it's been so long. I was actually thinking that maybe sometime we could play it and talk about it on the show. I don't know. But,
Maybe.
There's a. You guys remember that place? It was about the time that a whole bunch of people stopped playing. The set was Mirrodin. There's a new set. It's called
Mirrodin.
Mirrodin, yeah.
Mirrodin.
Wait, was that Mirrodin?
That's when all those guys stopped playing.
Yeah, that's when everybody got mad and quit.
Oh, freaking! What was it? Infinity or?
Yeah, it was like Infinity. Yeah. You played all these Infinity cards, and that meant you could play other cards, you know, I guess for Infinity. I'm not really sure.
I just remember I heard lots of people complaining about it.
Yeah.
Oh, what were you saying, like?
That time. Yeah.
Anyway, like, I don't know if this is a joke, but I heard about another set coming up called Scars of Mirrodin.
Now, that has to be a joke. That has to be a joke.
When I heard that, I was like, yeah, I can show you some Scars of Mirrodin. Like,
yeah.
This was from when Bruce landed on my face.
Isn't it like...
From a what?
A scar.
You remember that big flying guy? I think that's what his name was.
No, I mean, I didn't hear what you said.
I said, this is from what when a bruised star landed on my face. The scar.
I don't get it, but it's probably funny.
Doctors are still pulling shrapnel out of the blasts. That's not funny either.
Somebody got ravaged.
Okay, someone else?
Yeah.
So that's... Apparently, Mike's final considerations that Wizards is kind of screwing themselves over yet again by, repeating the mistakes of the past?
They really need to just focus on Duel Masters and Pokemon.
It's true. It's true.
And just
that, Neopets, both. That was the game. They also make Neopets.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. All the things I love are all made by one company, except
Wait a
for
minute. I thought Wizards hasn't printed Pokemon in a long time.
Yeah, no, they need to get back to it.
I think they lost the license to somebody else. Yeah. Nintendo was like, yoink. So, but at the time, I remember at the time that I had to put down Star Wars and I heard they were losing the license to Wizards. I was like, oh yeah, that's the Pokemon people. So, all right. Final consideration, the Chewy. If you have any.
I don't know. I sort of. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Since we have a lot of listeners in Australia, I saw this and I wanted to make this my final consideration. South Australia's Attorney General Michael Atkinson will be stepping down to take a backseat role in the Australian Parliament. And Air's like, so? Michael Atkinson is an anti-games lobbyist. And sole obstacle, I'm quoting from a news story here on Xbox360achievements.org. It's where I actually get my news, sadly enough. Atkinson has been an anti-games lobbyist and sole obstacle in Australia changing its certification laws to allow 18-plus games to be sold in the country.
Wow.
His veto power has prevented a ratings reform despite being the only one of six attorney generals opposed to redressing the law against the sale of mature video games.
And, you know, we're the Manapool, Wii Game, and anti-game, that's like anti-us, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the fact that we talk about all these games that are, you know, well, here in the States, they're M-rated, And a bunch of our listeners have no idea what we're talking about because they can't play them unless they get them through some sort of illegal means, which, knowing some of our listeners that we've talked to in Australia, it's not entirely impossible. But so, yeah, it says, when Atkinson finally steps down, it could mean that adult-themed games will cease to be banned in the region as the current laws only allow for the sale of MA15+ games. That's the rating in Australia.
Okay.
So, yeah. He's supposed to step down from Parliament altogether in 2014, but he's taking a back seat in Parliament, stepping down as Attorney General. So that's good news for, like I said, all of our listeners and gamers in Australia. And that is my final consideration.
All right. Well, I'm going to wrap things up. As always, it's been good to talk to these guys. I enjoyed reaching back in time, so to speak, and getting a chance to play these games that I used to play and I haven't had a chance to in a while. Over the next couple of weeks, we'll be getting back to our roots. You know, you don't have to worry about Star Wars or talking about Magic or Lord of the Rings or any of these things. We're going to be pretty much wall-to-wall Yu-Gi-Oh! I'm thinking we might go a little bit into classic card games like Bridge, and you've always got Chewie's considerations and his corner to kind of hear the off the wall stuff. But we're going to be pretty content driven for a while, so I just want to thank.
We should play Star Wars Monopoly sometime. I have that here at the house.
Ooh, I've got Nintendopoly too.
Yeah. Oh, we could play them both against each other.
Oh man.
Oh, that'd be so good.
Actually, Brian and Carrie got me Nintendopoly one year for Christmas or birthday
it's
or something.
True, I think it was for Christmas.
Yeah, same
you don't
thing.
Care about your birthday. Yeah.
Nobody cares about my birthday. Shut up.
I just want to thank my I can't get it out. I can't get out a sentence with these guys. You hear what I have to put up with. I want to thank my co-hosts, my co-geeks for getting their
traveling luggage salesman.
Getting their game on with me tonight. And so thank you, listeners. As always, we are brought to you by CardShark.com. This has been episode 123. I think we'll call this one Backdoor Shenanigans, just for you, Dirk. And thank you all
Can
for listening.
Can you
say that? Yeah. A backdoor is a place. It's the way that you go into the bunker. There were many shenanigans there, or at least one or two.
Especially with the daughter Skywalker.
Right. So, thank y'all for listening, and go play some games.
How come I never get to do the sign-off?
Quite you.